Hello, and welcome to this half hour of Rowlett's Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'm pastor here at Rowlett's, and I'd like to thank you for tuning in today, and I'd like to take a moment to invite you and your family to come join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our Sunday school program, or every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for our worship service, or maybe you could come visit with us on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for our weekly Bible study, where we just sit back, really, and we take in some things about the Lord. We've been discussing over the course of the last few Wednesday evenings some different characters from the Bible, and this past couple of weeks we've been in the book of Job, and we've really been enjoying that. I think you'd enjoy it too. I really do. I think you would enjoy that, to come out and talk with us and just visit with us, and we appreciate that so much. I tell you, there's been a great outpouring of love for this congregation here at Rowlett's, and we've done our best to extend it to all the other churches in our community. And I tell you, I just want to take just a moment, if I could, to pray for our local churches, for all those. And I'm not just referring to Baptist churches. I don't want to be that exclusive. I don't want to leave that out. But every church that we have in our community that's trying to reach people for Jesus. There's so many pastors in our area. There's so many wonderful, wonderful church members that God has enabled me to meet. I've got great friends in a number of different churches. I've got more than great friends. I've got brothers and sisters, and they may not go to a Baptist church. They may not come here at Rowlett's, but they're still blood bought by the blood of Jesus. And I want to take just a moment, if it's okay with you, and let's pray for our local churches. Father God, I thank you so much for the way that you have kept the faithful through the years. And God, I pray that you might strengthen the churches of this area. Dear God, as I go through my mind, I see so many faces and so many wonderful hearts, dear Lord, that are called by your name. And we thank you today, Father. Father, I pray that you might enable each one of these churches to have the power that comes from being submissive to the Holy Spirit, that we find our humility, that we find our place, that we find ourselves working toward the same common goal, and that's to see every soul in Hart County, every soul in Barron County, Metcalf, wherever it might be, Father, that we want to see every soul be saved to the glory of God. And I pray, dear Father, that you might strengthen the pastors of those churches, that you might give them a holy unction, dear Father, to speak the truth with love, dear Father, that they might boldly talk about the things of God, dear Lord, and they might preach the truth as the truth needs to be preached. But dear God, don't ever allow us to leave out compassion. And so, Lord, I just want to lift them up before you this morning. We thank you, dear God, for the blessings that come from having a union that is bought by the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the sacrifice that Christ made for our sins on the cross. And we ask you these things in His holy and His precious name. Amen. If I could, I'd like to take just a moment as well to wish happy birthday to a couple of folks from Rowlett's congregation here that are going to have birthdays over the course of the next week. First of all, Miss Jessica Devine is having a birthday on Friday the 12th, and happy birthday, Jessica. My beautiful wife, I hope she heard that, my beautiful wife is having a birthday on Saturday the 13th. I'd like to wish Jennifer Cook happy birthday, honey. Love you, and we really appreciate so much. Also, a good one, Miss Kenitha Scott. Now, Kenitha and Jason, many of you know them. Kenitha's birthday is on Valentine's Day on Sunday the 14th. And so Jason better not forget that one. That'll be an important one. And don't be bringing in one gift for two different occasions. Better be two different gifts there, one birthday and one Valentine's. And I'll remind him when I see him. And also, next Thursday, Arnold and Joyce Brown will be celebrating the anniversary, but I'll remind you of that one next Thursday. Arnold and Joyce are great, great folks. Hope you know them, because if you do, it's been a blessing. And we just thank God for all these folks. I'd like to, if we could, I know we took a little break from it last week, but I think we need to get back into this book of Philippians. And I'll remind you just a little bit about some of the things we've already talked about through the chapter 1 of Philippians. Now that we've seen God's great hand working through the Apostle Paul, and this epistle was written by Paul's hand, but it was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. And Philippians derives its name from that Greek city where the church to which it was addressed was located. Philippi was the first town in Macedonia where Paul established a church. You remember, Paul dreamed of that man in Macedonia, and he asked him to come to him, and Paul went. He obeyed what God asked him to do. And we've been walking through this book. We've been looking We looked at Paul's greeting there in the first two verses, and then Paul breaks out into thankfulness and prayer in verses 3 through 11 of chapter 1. And Paul's really, I love it when you're reading through the New Testament like that, and regardless who the writer was, they just get caught up in the moment. And you know, I like those little, sometimes it'll go on for a whole chapter, just outbursts. Just points where that people become so caught up in what God's doing, they just got to stop for a moment and they declare hallelujah and they cry out to God. And I tell you, that's to me is some of the best writing. And that's why I suppose I'm just a little more attuned to what they call inspired preaching. I like inspired preaching where a man gets prayed up and he's reading his Bible and God impresses on his heart a scripture or something that needs to be read out loud, and that man will read that out loud and there at the church, and the God's people all allow it just to go and sink into their ears and their minds, and then that man will begin to exhort on that. He'll begin to talk about what has to deal with his things in the scripture. Boy, I like good preaching. My wife, she grew up in a family where that they are always very musical, and my wife tends to have a great, great connection with music and specials and hymns. And I do too. I'm not taking anything away from that. I love it when a song breaks my heart, or when a person breaks out in a joyful chorus, and all of a sudden, you know, it's just almost as if the lights open up and God Himself is smiling down. But I'll tell you, folks, when it comes to getting a blessing, there ain't nothing really that hurts me or can pull me more than good preaching. I like it. I don't think a preacher can preach hard enough for me, and I'll amen him till he gets plumbed down in the floor. And I tell you, I like it when the New Testament goes about that way. You'll just be reading through the Apostle Paul there, and all of a sudden, he'll break out into a, "Thank God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy." And I tell you, it just don't get any better than that. And Paul is doing that as he goes through the book of Philippians. Now, if you'll remember, we talked about in chapter 1, verse 12, Paul begins to preach one thing, and he wants to preach Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? He says, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which have happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel." And Paul reminds us of all the great things that's happened in his life. Did you know, I believe Paul looked back upon the stripes that he'd taken on his back, upon the times that he'd been left for dead, upon all the persecution that he'd received at the hands of the Pharisees and the Jewish people in that time, all that persecution. He said, I bet Paul looked back on that and he said, "My goodness, what a wonderful opportunity that God has given me. My goodness, how great it is to take a beating for Jesus Christ." I tell you, folks, I wish that our churches could look at it the same way. You know, the world is going to persecute you, Pastor. The world is going to persecute you, Sunday school teacher. The world is going to persecute you, youth leader, because you are standing for something the world knows nothing about. You have taken a stand in this world for holiness and righteousness. And if there's one thing you want to do to get people's fur raised up at you and to make folks mad at you, it's to take a stand for holiness and righteousness. It's to take a stand for what the good things are in this world. And I'm not talking about parties. I'm not talking about revelry. I'm not talking about drinking and drunkenness. I'm talking about singing praises to God. I'm talking about doing the right thing in life. I'm talking about even having good morals. The world is even trying to take morals away from us. I tell you, it's rare nowadays to see a young man hold a door open for a lady. It's rare today to see somebody let somebody behind them in line come up front because they don't have as many groceries. And you think, well, Dwayne, you're examining things that just don't have to do with anything. But I'll tell you, folks, it does have something to do with it, because the small things, I like what my Sunday school teacher, Brother Tim Isaac, says, God starts in the small things. And I believe that's true. God does start in the small things, in the little things. And slowly, we've seen an erosion of regular old morals in our nation. And if we desire to see the bigger things affected, we've got to start with the foundation. We've got to start with the basics. We've got to start with the principles. And that's in the small things of life. Paul preached Christ. That's the basic foundation for everything else. When you begin to take Christ out of society, it looks a whole lot like what we look like today. Slowly, 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 the world is pulling Jesus out of your life. And it's hurting the church. It's weakening the pulpit. It's causing church members to look a whole lot like those that are in any other club. But folks, we're not some other club, church. We're not just some other group of people that meet on a regular basis and have the same desires and think about the same things. No, no, no! You are the bride of Jesus Christ. And we're called to be holy. And that's where the world takes an affront to what we believe. And if you read through chapter 1 of Philippians, verses 12 through 18, you'll see about Paul preaching about Christ. In 19, starting verse 19 through 26, chapter 1, Paul talks about something else that's very important. To live is Christ. To live for money will cause you to not live long. To live for great things you can achieve on this planet, they won't last after you're gone. Only one thing is right to live for. Only one thing will bring you fulfillment in your days. Only one thing can truly be said, I'm glad I live for that, and that's for Christ. And then verse 27 through the end of chapter 1, Paul talked about striving and suffering for Christ. He talked about worthy of the gospel, that believers are to have integrity, to live consistent with what they believe, with what they teach, and what they preach. Paul gives us a theme of unity that's going to continue as we get into chapter 2 all the way through verse 4. Paul's call for genuine unity of heart and mind is based on the necessity of oneness to win the spiritual battle for faith. If we as churches, if we as Christians are going to win anybody to Jesus, we first got to be stand and united in our own faith. And we cannot have division in the church. We cannot have jealousy in the church. We cannot have these things breaking in and corrupting our churches. And I'll tell you folks, sometimes I just cannot believe. Sometimes I'm shocked by the things that church members will allow to happen between one another. It amazes me at the ungratefulness that some people can display. I'm amazed. Amazed at how quickly church can turn on one another. We mourn with each other when we die. We celebrate at weddings and births. And we allow God to work in our lives. And we allow one little old thing to bring about division. I tell you folks, we got to be prayed up nowadays. Because if there's one place that all hell itself is trying to focus and tear down, it's the church today. If there's one place that the world would like to see fall down into ashes and become impotent in this world, it would be the church. The world is trying to steal the power of the church away. It's trying to pull it back out and make it look like all the rest of the world. I like what old Vance Hatner said. He said, when all the rest of the white sheep are a pale shade of gray, all the black sheep are a little easier in their own conscience. I'm afraid today the church is starting to get a pale shade of gray. And I'm going to encourage you. I want to admonish you. I want to edify you today to shake off the ashes that the world has poured upon on the back of the church, and to once again stand holy for what God intended us to be. We can't let ourselves slide into a nothingness. And those pride goes before a fall, so will the church go before a fall when it lets the world infiltrate its ideals and begin to make it look like the rest of the world. Oh, won't that be convenient when there's no more conviction, when there's nobody to look at and say he's living his life as it ought to be lived. When there's nobody that we see working out here in the world and they're doing the right things and it makes us feel bad about our own evil. Won't that be nice? Oh God, help us. Help us not to fall into that trap. Paul's preaching about unity, folks, in the church. It's got to start with us. And he calls us to oneness. That's how we'll win the spiritual battle for faith. Then he tells us that the love of others in the fellowship. We got to love each other in the fellowship. Have genuine humility and self-sacrifice. Whatever happened to self-sacrifice? My goodness, it's a thing of the past. But I'll tell you, I'll challenge you this way. You look at it. You try this at home. Dad, Mom, try this. You go in the house this evening, and you do everything you can to please your spouse. And you wait on them. You put their needs in front of yours. Now, if that spouse loves you, and this is for Christians, this is people in the church. If that spouse loves you, they'll begin to serve you back in the same way. And then you'll begin to try to outdo them, and they'll begin to try to outdo you. And before you know it, you're caught up in a competition to see who can love the other one more. Self-sacrifice. You say, well, nobody's ever done that for me. Well, nobody's ever really taken and tried to treat me in that manner. Friend, Jesus did. Jesus did. You've got no right to say that. Hey, whether you're in the church or not, whether you want to believe what I'm trying to tell you or not, Jesus Christ died for you. You can be a believer or you cannot be a believer. You might be, I don't know, what you're driving down the road, you're stripping tobacco, you're standing there around the radio. I don't know what might be going on. But whether you are a Christian or not, Jesus died for you. Now, that condemns us. Somebody died for us. What do we do about it? What can I do about it? I hope somebody asked. What do you expect me to do about it? Love Him. Love Him. Serve Him. Call Him your Lord. Call Him your Master. And watch what an amazing thing can happen in your life. Watch what an amazing thing can take place in your heart. Love Him. Love the Lord your God. Jesus is God. Man, how wonderful that is. Paul says, let's read these first four verses of Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, if there is any consolation or encouragement, ever how you want to say it, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, watch this, verse 2, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Wow, there it is. Bottom line. Church, listen to me again. Let me say this once more. By having like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Unity, unity, unity. Verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. So, we're not going to work through those things, right? We're not going to work through selfish ambition or conceit. But, finish verse 3 with me. Man, I hope you're getting this. But, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. I tell you, I got to read that again. Watch this now. But in lowliness of mind or humility, let each esteem others better than himself. Friend, look at your neighbor and decide they're better than you are. And there's no room for vanity in Christianity. There's no room for pride. There's no room for raising up ourselves and trying to pull down others. Not in Christianity. Now, you can find that in the world of sports. I played sports my whole life. I'm no stranger to that. I know what confidence can do. I know that confidence can be what changes the momentum of a game. If I walk out on that field and I'm confident that I'm bigger and stronger and faster than the guy opposite me, I'm going to knock him down. I'm going to get around him. He's not going to be able to hold me. But that's not the way the church operates. That's not it. You can only tap into the power of God when you put God in His rightful place and yourself on the bottom. Lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. In verse 4, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Now that's wonderful. That is nothing more than wonderful. Let me read with you just a minute what I've got a MacArthur study Bible, and I like what he says about this. He says this lowliness of mind, he said this translates a Greek word that Paul and other New Testament writers apparently coined. It was a term of derision with the idea of being low, shabby, and humble. And I like that. You know, you can look at 1 Corinthians 15:9, 1 Timothy 1:15. It's a theme that runs throughout the Bible. We're to be unified and we're to be humble. And we're to put others before ourselves. What is the greatest example of that? What is a way that you can look at somebody else and see how to serve that on your own? Just look at Jesus. The cross. The cross is the ultimate symbol of sacrifice. And friend, till you look at the cross, there's no salvation. Till we understand that Jesus was crushed by God because it pleased the Father for Him to be a sacrifice for our sins. Until we understand that, the rest of it is a loss. Will you close with me in a word of prayer? Father God, I pray that You might unite the church. And Lord, I'm not speaking of a building. I'm not speaking of an area. But I'm speaking of that body of believers, that each and every one of them have been brought together by the blood of Jesus. Father, would You help us to start to put each other's needs in front of our own? Would You help us, dear God, to understand that's what Jesus wants in our lives? That's what the Father's desire is for us, to serve one another. God, I just pray that You'll help me, Lord, to begin in my life. Lord, I want to serve this congregation here at Rowlett's. I want to serve those in other congregations as well. God, just help my life to be an example. And Lord, I pray that somebody else will be challenged by that. And that God will begin to see a great and mighty chain reaction go about happening in our community. No, I thank You, dear Lord, for the way that I've seen You work already. I thank You, dear God, for all the fundraisers that go on, for all the jamborees and things that are put on in honor of others, and the way our community tries to raise money for the homeless and the needy. We dear God, we pour out for those that have had fires and those that have had sickness and death. And God, I pray that You might strengthen us, that we might continue to do those things. But help us first and foremost glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For it's in His name that we do pray. Amen. God bless you, friend, from Rowlett's Baptist Church.